Well, good morning to all of you. Good morning and welcome to those of you who might be out there on TV land. We're not sure about the tech right now. One of our guys said to me the other day, he said, you know what, Kari, when we're watching online, it's kind of like TV. And I said, what do you mean? He said, you look kind of chunky. Kind of chunky, huh? And I retorted, well, it is like TV. You know, the camera adds 10 pounds. And he said to me, how many cameras do they have? I was a little embarrassed, needless to say. So I'm going to put this like this and hide all of that. Put a black thing in front of it and you can't see. Well, I've been fending on my own a couple of weeks. Marquita's been out taking care of some family business out west. So good morning, Marquita. I love you. And as often happens when she's gone, you've... This happened a couple of years ago. It was kind of this time of year, and there was a bunch of fire trucks going out to Stittsville, and I noted that that was from the great bonfire I had from burning all the pizza boxes that had accumulated while Marquita was away. So that's why all the fire trucks and the smoke out in Stittsville. But we can't joke about fire, and as Marge prayed earlier, we've got friends and family out in Kelowna and Yellowknife, we're dealing with this. I'm just going to echo Marge's prayer. Let's just pray for them again. Lord, we thank you for those who are fighting the fires, and we pray for those who are affected by the fires out west. Lord, that you bless them and help them. Thank you for the generosity of so many of your people who have been helping. And we just pray for relief now in Jesus' name. Amen. For those of you who haven't had a chance to meet yet, my name's Kari. I serve in a ministry called Leader Impact. It's a division of what's called in Canada Power to Change. You may know it worldwide as Campus Crusade for Christ. So I have the privilege of meeting with guys in groups every week and seeing God work, and it's a pretty darn exciting thing. And so the topic we're going to be talking about today, which is sharing your own faith story, is one that I'm very, very passionate about. And you'll remember a few weeks ago, Bob was speaking about this. We were doing a series on evangelism. And on July 16th, Bob said this. He said that we're prone to share our difficulties, our stuff, especially on social media. But he stated that we are so much more than a trauma dump. You remember that saying, trauma dump? I thought that was a pretty amazing word. It evokes something in our heart. He said, we're more than that. We have been restored. We have been reformed in Jesus Christ our Lord. We have a new narrative. We can have victory over trial, like Jesus says to us in John 16. Do not be troubled. Take heart. I have overcome the world, right? So this new narrative, said Bob, is the basis for our own personal evangelism. And boy, do I agree with that statement. Bob also said that when God wants to do something in this world, he stretches out his hand. And his hands to you and I is us reaching out to others, isn't it? God's hand is so often our hand reaching out to someone else. So our life is not a trauma dump, but how Jesus is dealing with difficulties and trials and how we overcome in Christ through our life. Now, in line with Bob's sermon, I will be speaking today about how to tell your faith story and how God has worked in your own life and how you can share that with others. But before getting to our faith story and getting really involved with how we tell people about what God did in our life, we must eventually get to the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. It isn't a philosophy, it isn't a mindset or a new teaching or a rule of life per se. The gospel is about Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It's like God's son for my sin. This is what the gospel is about. So we do this training process called Venture in our ministry, and we teach people how to share their faith story so that they can eventually get to the gospel. And it's not the typical evangelism course where you learn the Roman road or a few scripture verses to share with someone. We eventually get to that, but we start with sharing how God has met you personally in your heart in a concise way like in 3 or 4 minutes. You can share how God's power has been manifested in your own life as a precursor to how he can work in their lives. Now, there's a couple of reasons why I think this approach could work quite well here at KBC. The first is that many of you have been through the Set Free workshop from Church Renewal. You have learned to identify and bring to God hurts, wounds, and sin in a way that you can get prayer and freedom. You've seen God do things for you and for other people, haven't you? You have shared your stuff with actually some tremendous vulnerability and transparency, and many of you have embraced a healing journey. Bless the Lord. This is unique. You see, many will share the facts of the gospel, but not their lives. I've heard people say, just preach the word. Forget about all this transparency and vulnerability stuff. More on that later. Another reason is the supernatural aspect of sharing in this way. This is something that we at KBC have embraced and are moving in. Many of you have participated in the Hearing God workshop. And as you're doing it, surprise, surprise, we realize that God is speaking. You get notepads of things that God is saying to you. I love you, my daughter. I love you, my son. I am with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And we found that God is still speaking. But there are many unfortunate souls sitting bored in North American churches right now who don't believe that that's possible. I had a guy say to me, I've never seen God do anything. I've never seen God do anything. Can you imagine how sad that is? Never heard God's voice. Never seen him do anything. Shoot, I hear God's voice all the time. Listen to your wife. Empty the dishwasher. Or was that Marquita's voice? They sound an awful lot alike sometimes. But God's speaking all the time, isn't he? This isn't a boring faith. This is an exciting adventure. So I'd have to say, if you looked around the church in our city right now, you'd have to say there's not a lot of that happening. We see some people coming to faith. But if you really were honest about it, you'd say the number of people coming to faith isn't even keeping up, isn't keeping track with population growth in our city. There's something is not right there. So if the church in our city were a commercial, it'd be like the old Wendy's commercial. Remember the three little old ladies go into the hamburger place and there's a big giant bun, a pickle, and some mustard on it. And there's a little tiny patty about that big, and somebody already said it. What did they say? Where's the beef? Absolutely. I think there's people around who are looking at us, the church, the body of Christ, saying, where's the beef? Where do we see God work? Is he even doing anything? And I think they'd be fair in saying that. Now, as a real carnivore, I'm glad to say that at KBC today, we will find some of the beef. Now, you may say to me, Kari, why do I have to do this anyway? Why do I have to share my story? Why do I have to share Christ with people? And you might say, well, the Great Commission commands it. I'd say, yeah, you're probably right. You could say, to save all those lost souls out there, and that is also true. You could say, to be a fruitful worker and to live a productive life of faith. And I think that would also be true. Some of you might just say, to the glory of God. That is also true. But here's what I've found. I've found that the best way to glorify God, reach people, etc., etc., is to share how God's love and mercy have positively affected my own life. It's a love story. You might say, where do I begin to tell a story of how great a love can be? A sweet love story. I notice nobody's singing along yet. But it is a great love story, like this old movie, but so much better. It doesn't have a tragic ending. It has a wonderful, happy ending, doesn't it? So when we start sharing the story, we're sharing the story of God's love and mercy, just like the verses that have talked about, Heather Lynn was reading. They've been throughout our worship this morning. What does God say in John 3:16? For God so what? Loved that what did he do? That he gave. He's a loving, giving God. It's a love story. And it's a beautiful love story. Now, some from our community have experienced, like from our community right here, have experienced God freeing them from anxiety, inferiority, showed them signs like a path or a light. Some of them were out of money and asked God to send them money, and God sent money in the mail in an envelope. It's so amazing. Another one received assurance of their own identity while they're going through some very difficult things in their professional life, and God ministered to them. It's powerful. Our big idea this morning, and I've talked about it a little bit, if you get nothing else, get this one thing. Sharing your faith story opens the door to share the gospel. I'll say that again. Sharing your faith story opens the door to share the gospel. And our scripture, which Ron read this morning, is 1 Peter 3:15. And thank you for reading it in context. It's very powerful. 1 Peter 3, the first part about it is like godly living in the family. The second part is godly living in the church. And then the third part that we're taking verse 15 from that Ron read was that we would then get to the point where we'd have godly living in our community out there. And it's very powerful, and this is what it says. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Now, I'd like to highlight three major points from this scripture today. The first one is reverence. In your heart, set apart, your version may say sanctify or revere Christ as Lord. This word sanctify or set apart is hagiazo in the Greek. We are to sanctify, to set apart for holy use. It means to separate from profane things and dedicate to God. It's like we venerate and put into the appropriate place our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's very amazing that Peter quotes Isaiah 8 in this verse, Isaiah 8:13, which Jesus had previously quoted in the Lord's Prayer. And it talks, Isaiah 8 talks about Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, that we set apart or sanctify the Lord of hosts. Then Jesus said, this Lord of hosts is our Father, so we hallow his name, don't we? But then Peter goes one step further. It's not just generally God the Lord. It's not the Father. It's also Jesus Christ that we sanctify, that we set aside in our heart and worship. Jesus is our Savior, but he is also our Lord. We must keep him in the center of our heart. The lover of my soul, who has given everything for me, like an organ donor who's driving in a car, has a car crash and runs into a tree and dies. And another person gets their heart and gets to live because that person ran into a tree and died. Except in this case, it wasn't a car crash. What was it? It was an atoning sacrifice on a tree for our sins, done freely of his own free will for you and for me. He demonstrated his own love for me in this. While I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. It's personal. Will you revere Christ? The second point is readiness. Always be prepared to share your faith. The Greek here is really profound. It means to be perpetually, incessantly, continually prepared to share. Were any of you Girl Guides or Boy Scouts? Some of us went through this. And what's the great motto of this movement? Always be what? Always be prepared. Absolutely. Maybe they were quoting Peter in this motto. At this point, we come to many roadblocks in sharing our faith. I feel ill-qualified. They'll reject me. Maybe I'll embarrass God because I won't say all the words right, etc., etc. And I have good news for you. You don't have to have a whole theology of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Just tell your own faith story. Now, I have a great example of this in the physical sense. There was no one more prepared and ready than a bride who is about to be married. And I saw this with my own daughter, Bethany, and her wedding prep during COVID. They had to be pared down. They had to be flexible, had all the plans in place. As soon as restrictions relaxed just a little bit between waves of COVID, they were able to have a wedding with 54 people in Quebec. It was amazing. The only problem was the officiant, me, was not licensed in Quebec. So we also had to do some more planning and do a mini service on Friday night before the actual reception on Saturday in Ontario with a number of witnesses. So we went through it, signed off the forms, did everything. Then Saturday had the show ceremony with them walking down the aisle, and it was beautiful. And you know what? My daughter and her son-in-law got to share their vows in front of 54 witnesses. And it was beautiful. My daughter and son-in-law-to-be were determined to be able to share these custom-crafted vows that they had prepared for a long time to do. Now, if a bride goes through these handsprings to share her love for her husband-to-be at a wedding, how about you and I preparing to share about our love for our great bridegroom, Jesus Christ? Don't we each have something to proclaim? Don't we have a story to tell? I think so. This is what Pastor Bob was speaking about in July. We have a faith story to tell. How would this work with your faith? Some of you grew up in the church. Some of you were saved from drugs and alcohol addiction. Others were invited to an alpha or a small group. It's all different for each one of us, and each one of our stories will connect with someone else. But you have to prepare. Write down your story. What was your life like before? What made it change? What was it like since? Very simple. Take out a lot of the irrelevant facts. You know, I was born at a very early age, and this guy, it doesn't help anyone. And what we like to focus on is something that we call defining moments. A defining moment is a time when God met you in such a way that it changed the direction or quality of your life. A defining moment will demonstrate God's power and love and direction in your life. I had this happen right here at this church for a man who was part of an alpha several years ago. He was not a young man. He was well advanced in years. And after session 3 of Alpha, which talks about the gospel, he sat there, he and his wife, with Marquita and I, and he said, "I just realized I'm not a Christian." His wife says, "What are you talking about? You were baptized when you're 16. You've been going to church for 60 years. What do you mean you're not a Christian?" He said, I think all of that's true, but I've never surrendered my life." And this man of advanced age surrendered his life to Jesus Christ in that alpha group right then and there. It was awesome. For him, that was his defining moment when it came from here into here. And we've seen it go through so many times for people. Well, God will just speak to them about seeing some direction in their life or really making a faith that was their parents' now their own. You know, these kind of things. In another venture member from this course from a previous class actually had a vision of someone pointing him to Jesus Christ. A vision of a person pointing him to Jesus. He was just stunned. He said, What do you mean by this? He never expected it. And the thing is that people won't argue or dispute what God has done in your lives. They see it in your eyes. There's life change. It's very emotional for many people. So what you need to be is a witness. For some reason, I want to be a lawyer all the time. I want to give them the 5 reasons why they're wrong, how reliable scripture is, how much proof we have that Jesus rose from the dead. You know, we got the whole plan laid out. And I want to be a lawyer instead of a witness. Just share your own faith story. And it ends up being a dialogue. And not a monologue. So the first point is reverence for Christ. The second is readiness. The third flows from it. It's respect. Do this with gentleness and respect. Respect the other person's background, fears, and in many cases, ignorance. Many see God as an angry judge who wants to condemn them for the sin they've done, like a cosmic killjoy who wants to ruin their lives and make them boring people who won't have fun anymore. And of course, this couldn't be farther from the truth. He wants to give us an abundant, rich life. Isn't that why Jesus came? He said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly, more fully, right? And this is where the law of permission is key. Only go as far as their interest and time takes it. If the person starts to push back and said, okay, I've had enough now, it takes faith to stop then and not whack them over the head with the Bible, which is what I did to my own father. I just said, Dad, you grew up in the church. You know these Bible verses. You know, this type of thing. Whacked him over the head with the Bible, and it took years to get over that so that I could build trust with him again and share with him. And our ministry uses something called the Engels Scale. Dr. Engels studied how people came to faith, and he found that on average, people need to hear the gospel or parts of the gospel up to 14 times before they come to Christ. That means the first person who shared thought, oh, well, they didn't come to faith, and they thought they were a failure. But no, they were a success because they were moving them one step closer to God. So on the Engel scale, a minus 10 would be someone who's far from God. Let's say that's Adolf Hitler, Genghis Khan, and Toronto Maple Leafs fans. Minus 10. Plus 10, on the other hand, would be people who are close to God. You know, you think of Billy Graham, Mother Teresa, Marge Kirk, you know, the high holy people. And then we're all along the way somewhere. And at zero is where someone comes to saving faith in Jesus. And often it takes many interactions. So if you share with someone and they don't come to faith, that's a success. You've moved them one step closer to the Lord. But it takes faith, so you don't pummel them. They're pushing back and you say, thank you, Lord. I moved them one step closer, one step closer, one step closer. It takes faith and patience. That's why we have to respect what they're, when they put up their hand and say, don't go ahead. I had this happen with me in the grocery store parking lot. Can't tell you the whole story. It's pretty amazing. But a man started talking to me about his, about my car, and his car was the same company, but a much fancier model. And he talked about this miraculous story where he didn't have enough money to buy this car, but he really needed a car, and found that he had known this lady and done some business with her years ago. And he prayed to God. He told me this. I prayed to God, and he gave me the car for something I could afford. And he just wanted to tell me this story, standing in a grocery store parking lot. I was like, Lord, you must be in this. The Lord gave me an idea. I said, you know what? I think you should pray more. He said, what do you mean? He said, God's answering your prayers. You should pray more. And he goes, you know, that's true. I should know that. I said, why should you know that? He said, my father was a district superintendent of the Pentecostal Assemblies of God, and I grew up going to church. Oh, really? And we had this conversation, and I said, maybe God's calling you to come back to him. He said, I think you're right. And he turned and he wanted to get into his car. So I said, okay, Lord, move them maybe one or two steps closer to you. Someone else will have to pick this up now. But God was doing something. The Holy Spirit was working in his heart. Now, recently, a group of our leader impact leaders went down to Colombia, and we had been teaching this method of sharing your own faith story as a precursor to sharing the gospel. And these business people started to share, and many of them had, you know, some really emotional and difficult things to share, and they were pretty vulnerable and quite transparent. In fact, a couple of them couldn't finish their story. We're out sharing with a group of business people, and they couldn't finish it. They were so moved. I had to finish their story for them. And so what we saw as we were doing this is they were connecting hearts with people. Connecting hearts. And in 1 week, we saw 773 people come to faith in Christ. It was amazing. But it took, there was a cost personally for those who were sharing. They were sharing their own story, their own trials and troubles and struggles, which made it difficult. But I think that's why we connected so much. So there's our 3 points: reverence, readiness, and respect. But I have a bonus R for you. So you can say I had 3 points, you know, like some good exegetical preacher or something, 3 points. But I'm going to add a bonus for you. Everybody likes a bonus. It's requests or prayer. Requests. I've been praying for unsaved people and seeing God respond by drawing them by his Spirit for many years. And like the old saying goes, don't talk to a person about God before you talk to God about the person. 1 Timothy 2:1, I saw this verse a little while ago and I was amazed that I hadn't really honed in on this before. 1 Timothy 2:1 and then 3:4. Listen to this, Timothy. Paul is saying to Timothy, I urge then that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who, listen to this, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of him. God loves it when we're praying for people. He loves it when we're praying for people to come to saving faith, because he wants all people to be saved. He wants us praying for him. It says he is pleased when we do this. When we make the effort of praying for other people, he is pleased. And it's amazing how when you start to pray for someone, God just seems to create opportunities to share. Strange circumstances, flat tires, difficulties, things so that you end up talking to them. And it's happened to me dozens of times. He answers our prayers. So at this point, I'm going to remind you again, going back to the Engel scale, that effective evangelism is sharing Christ's work in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a supernatural phenomenon. It's not won by arguing in facts. Yes, there are facts, but you don't win by arguing. It's not here. It's in here. It's the power of the Spirit, and only the Holy Spirit can draw someone to Jesus Christ. And guess what? He will often use our stories to open the door to share the gospel and see them come to Christ. But we must ask the Spirit of God to lead us. Then we can pray for them and have a chance to witness to them. I use just a 3x5 card. Some of you high-tech folks probably have notes in your gizmos and this kind of thing. I just use a 3x5 card and I pray, and when they come to Christ, I tick them off and thank God. Now you say, okay, Kari, I understand about sharing my faith story, but what really is the gospel? Now, as you start to share, oftentimes you're going to get red herrings. You're going to get, you know, who are the four horsemen of the apocalypse and what happened to the dinosaurs? And a lot of times these are just to deflect away from the core thing. Say, you know, I know you're interested in that. Could I just share the good news? Or share the gospel. And they'll say, what's that? And you'll start to share. And like me, when I first heard the gospel, I couldn't believe it. My parents were immigrants. We worked for everything you had. There's an old sales term, you eat what you kill, right? I only knew work and results. I couldn't understand grace. I needed to go through that several times, start to read the New Testament. It took me a while to figure this out. I couldn't believe it. So our ministry, the founder of our ministry many years ago, Bill Bright, created a tool, and each family should have received one of these, called the Four Spiritual Laws. It is a simple tool, has 4 points to it: love, sin, provision, and receiving. Love, sin, provision, and receiving. And the first one, God loves you and offers a wonderful plan for your life. We've talked about John 3:16 a few times. You cannot get away from that. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Share a verse with them. Let the power of the Spirit through God's work affect their heart. You could even share if you wanted to. And Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So God's love and plan is what he wants for you. But there's a reason why many of us, most people, are not experiencing God's love and abundant life. And what is that? Sin. We're sinful and separated from God. We've turned our backs on God, either rebelliously or just through disinterest. And because of our sin, there's this great chasm for a holy, righteous God and for us, where we're walking in our sins, in this separation from God. It's like a great chasm, and we cannot get across it, right? The third law, then, now you could share the verse, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." It's in the booklet. Many people, once you share that, they'll go, "Yeah, I understand that." I've had a couple of guys say, "Yeah, I don't really sin." I'm like, "Oh my goodness, really? You just did." And but no, don't do that. Don't embarrass the person. Law three is provision. God's only provision for our sin is Jesus Christ. So thinking of this great chasm that separates us from God, Jesus Christ on his cross is like the bridge across the Grand Canyon, like a bridge across the Grand Canyon. And we come to him through Jesus Christ. You could say God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we're still sinners, Christ died for us. You could share John 14. "I am the way and the truth and the life," said Jesus. "No one comes to the Father except through me." Or probably the most famous one, my old home church back in Sudbury, there's a picture of Jesus knocking at the door. Never understood what it was till 20 some years later when I accepted Christ and realized that was Revelation 3:20. "Behold, I what? Stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, I will come in to them and them to me." Powerful. But here's the thing that we all forget. We think that just sharing that is going to be great. Like someone, now they've got it and they're going to come to faith in Christ. And here's what we do not do that we should. We need to press for them to receive Jesus Christ. We need to invite them. It's like a great salesperson that goes out and never asks for a sale. You know what they call those people? Broke. They'll never sell anything. We have to, and I'm sorry, I'm not equating the gospel to selling, but there's principles here that we need to ask. And this person must individually receive Jesus Christ as Lord. Then they can experience God's love and forgiveness through the bridge across this chasm, which is Jesus Christ our Lord. And I love John 1:12. "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." You could, if you wanted, add Ephesians 2:8 and 9, and all these verses are in the booklets that you received. You know, "For it is by grace you have been saved." Through what? Through faith. "Not by works, so that no one can boast," etc. It's a gift by grace. And when the person is ready, you invite them to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. You must ask. And when they say yes, you can pray with them. It doesn't have to be a flowery great prayer. There's a sample prayer in there. "Dear Father, thank you for forgiving me of my sins through Jesus Christ as Lord. I turn my life over to you. I couldn't do it on my own. Please forgive me. I receive Jesus and it's in his name I pray." Something like that. Very simple prayer. It doesn't have to be flowery. And remember again, prayer doesn't save anyone. Because they pray the prayer, like this rather elderly gentleman that I said, he had prayed many prayers, but he had never surrendered his heart. He had never repented and confessed before. So you need to push them to an act of the will. Repentance and surrender. And that's where the life of faith comes from. Now you may say, "Kari, this sounds good, and I can tell you've done this a few times before. Where do I start?" Well, we've got some booklets for you. That's a good starting place. There's also an app called God Tools. God Tools. You download it on the iPhone at the Apple Store. I don't know how you do it on Android. I'm sure it's there as well. And then there's videos on our ministry, Campus Crusade for Christ. You can just look up 4 Spiritual Laws. And they're there. It's so helpful to have videos and to see someone share with another person. Now, you may say, "Kari, I'm still not convinced." Like, you know, I've been told and I always thought you just share Bible verses. Just preach the word, preach the gospel, and people come to faith. Well, kind of true, but as I said before, usually it takes steps. So being vulnerable and transparent and sharing your faith is key to opening the door for the gospel. So a lawyer from Hamilton, who was in one of our groups, he said to me, "Kari, I don't like all this fluffy stuff. I want, you know, the direct stuff. Just preach the word. We should just preach the word like the gospel, just preach the word like the Apostle Paul did." And I found this very funny because as you read Acts and the epistles, what does Paul always start with? His own darn story. We read it. In fact, we could quote it. If we just sat here, we'd go through all the things. "Yeah, I was standing there beside Stephen when he was stoned. I was a Pharisee of Pharisee. I was on the road to Damascus to persecute this new church when all of a sudden, boom, a light went off. I fell to the ground." We could just do this, couldn't we? We could go through Paul's whole story because he repeated it over and over again before he shared the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. He did this so much to the Thessalonians. This is what he said. He said, "We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you have become so dear to us." It's a love story. He was sharing his life, the things that he struggled with, the challenges. And boy, did I ever see this in Colombia. You know, I told you that we had over 770 people come to saving faith. So exciting. But you have to know the pre-story. We were training. We were in a hotel training people how to do what I'm telling you right now. These business people. And they're starting to get it. And they're telling their stories. So I had arranged how to share the four spiritual laws with a person who doesn't know Christ yet. So I'd been speaking to this bellhop. I told him what we were doing. Guy at the hotel. And he said, "Yeah, I've got a break coming up. I should be able to do that." So I had him all lined up to come in. And in front of our whole team, I was going to share the gospel and see if he wanted to come to Christ. So I'd been praying, and I was pretty sure the Lord wanted me to share with a live person and not just act it out. Right as we're going into the room, four or five cars pull up with all these bags. This poor guy is going to be tied up there for at least half an hour at the hotel. I go, "Oh, shoot." Marquita and I were talking, "What are we going to do?" So we go into the room, and I remembered there was a lady who was helping our team with the tech stuff. We had a lot of PowerPoint presentations. We had had some difficulties. And so this lady had been in the room and had heard several of these defining moments and faith stories. So I just said, "Well, I'm going to have to ask this lady." So I asked her through the translator. She didn't speak English. And she said, "Yeah, it seems kind of interesting. I think I'd like to hear about this." So there we are, and Marquita captured this on film, which I was so excited. She had her phone ready. I started to share with her these same four spiritual laws right here, and through translation, this is as far as I got. Her name was Tatiana. I said, "Tatiana, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life." She starts to cry, and I'm going, "Oh no, what's going on, you know?" Well, she then explains through the translator that she just felt the presence of God come on her. So I continued, and then she said, "I've got goosebumps," and she's starting to cry more, and I'm going, "Oh my goodness." So I share point two, we're sinful and separated, God's provision, etc., through Jesus Christ, would you like to receive him? And guess what? She was ready to receive Christ. She had heard these faith stories, and she wanted what these people in the room had. So exciting. She prayed and came to Christ. And then the translator invited her to church that Sunday and got her plugged into a faith community. And turns out she had been going through some very difficult times, and God just had her prepared just for this time. I was so thankful. And you know, when you start doing things in a training room, you know, that was at risk. That could have gone really bad, couldn't it? But I felt like God was saying, you need to do this with a real person and not just mock up a fake story. You know, and as you share this way, it gives you more faith, more boldness to be able to do it with others. Like Philemon 6 talks about, then when you do this, you'll have a full understanding of every good thing you have in Christ. God will be working and growing your own faith. So reverence, readiness, and respect, all bathed in requests and prayer. So someone may be saying to you, where's the beef? Like, what's going on in this faith? You guys go to church, you look nice, smell nice, talk nice, but what's really going on in here? And you can say your own faith story, and that by sharing your faith story, It will open the door to share the gospel. So I challenge you this week, take out a piece of paper. What was my life like before? What was my defining moment? How did God meet me? What brought me to faith? And what has it been like since? And then I challenge you to share it with someone. Pray first. Please pray. And share it with someone. And then don't be surprised. Once you've got your story written, if God brings someone across your path in a grocery store parking lot, at some meeting where you get an opportunity to share. You should have some booklets. If you didn't get one, I have one or two here available. What we're going to do, I talked to Pastor Bob about this, is we're going to run a little course on how to share your faith story. We can have about 16 people. The plan is right now to do it right after church on Sunday mornings, and we'll go to the A1 room. We can have about 16 people. You should be seeing it in the e-news in the next week or so. Our plan is to start September the 17th. Please don't, a bunch of people, email Sue and Cheryl right now, sign me up, because the form isn't created yet. So don't do that and flood their inbox. But look for the e-news and you can respond, and we can do 16 people or so. It's been a blessing to share with you, and I pray that the Lord will give you courage to share your faith in Jesus' name. Thank you.